Hey, Doc, you better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Well, they might not need roads, but will they need cars still? We were having that conversation last week where I was saying, you know, I've never really loved a car since my 1975 Beetle, but I absolutely think I need one. Do I? A couple of years ago, we had a whole show dedicated to cars, and my guest then was Anthony James. Then he was at Swinburne. Now he's an honorary research associate at the University of Western Australia and the host and creator of the Regeneration podcast. Welcome back, Anthony.
Thanks, Glenn. Good to be with you again.
A couple of years been busy for you since we last spoke. You've moved states.
It's a mild manner of moving home. Yeah, that's right.
Good to have you back on. You have not had a car for 20 years.
Yeah.
How'd you manage that?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, without much of a big deal. But I guess for me, perhaps like a lot of listeners, I'm not sure, perhaps at least some, I had reached the point back then of feeling it in the hip pocket, and just the traffic. So I was living in Melbourne at the time, and the boom was on then. The population sort of starting in the 90s really started to explode, and it was just a big cram. And then I met a pretty highly regarded professor who's since passed away, sadly, at Monash, who enlightened me as to some of the folly around using the car as your default commuter vehicle, in that it's ultimately so slow and inefficient when you take into account everything we need to do to make the A to B, the go to Y, you know.
No, I don't, because isn't that why I use my car? Because it's much quicker?
Yeah, that's the paradox of it. So it seems to be quicker, although that's changing too. Very often now on my bike, I will get there to my destination before a car would. So that's changing. But you know, to compare apples with apples, what you really need to do is multiply your car journey by 2, 3, even 4 times, depending on your context, to get an apples and apples approach. So where I, for example, will ride my boy to school, so he's 5, so he's in a trailer in the back, and I'll take 30 minutes to get there without him and perhaps 45 to get back with him in the trailer, and depending on winds and so forth, and the car would take maybe half, probably a bit more than half that time, actually.
Yeah.
But I get to, A, park at the door with no charge, and then I don't have to work the time to pay for the purchase and the servicing and the parking and the insurance and the rego and the crashes and the gym afterwards, because I haven't moved my body, you know, all that sort of stuff. And the health costs and the stress costs that we're finding are the results of the increasing commuter times and traffic jams and so forth. I mean, it's not just about how long it takes, it's what effect it has on you. So when you take that into account, though,
yeah,
if you really want to know who's fast, the average speed in cities around the world, they call it effective speed when you take into account the time you take to work up to get the car in motion in the first place, comes under, in just about all cases, 13 kilometres an hour. And as a cartoonist mate of mine who's an avid cyclist too, he drew a cartoon for an article I wrote on this at one point, and he said, the average cyclist will romp that in. Has it well covered? So it's paradoxical, because the car will go past me in the street, but I'm done. Once I reach my destination, the driver's just beginning.
That is so fascinating. Anthony James is my guest, honorary research associate and host of the Regeneration podcast, which we'll talk about shortly. There was, and we were talking about cars last week, but there was a big report out, and I'm sure you would have heard of it because it was everywhere, but it basically said commuting has got worse. It's got longer and more difficult in the last few years. There has been plenty of people who've apparently moved house or moved jobs just to save time on their commute. Anthony has not had a car for 20 years, and he's telling you now. I just want to drill into what you were saying. That's fascinating. So the idea of how long it takes. What you're saying is you've broken it down into slightly different metrics, in that I work X number of hours to pay for the petrol and the car itself.
Correct.
Because that's what it's worth. But not just that I will actually replicate the time I need to mitigate the fact that I'm sitting down. I then go to the gym or do some exercise, and that, if you all add all that into a commute, then cycling is quicker.
Exactly. And in some cities, walking's quicker. You know, Australian cities probably aren't the worst in the world, right? So, and this has been shown over decades now. We know it to be true. And we also know that if you expand the roads, they call it induced traffic. More traffic comes and fills it. So you might get a benefit of a few seconds on your journey, or maybe a minute if you're lucky, for all the expense for a very little while. And then it's gone and you're back where you started. Because it's almost a build it and they will come
thing. Yes.
You're going the wrong way. We need to actually in cities, and you know, we are starting to, there's some terrific things happening now with governments and certainly communities and businesses, even car companies now changing to be looking at other ways of doing things. Even the chair of Ford International said a few years ago that we're heading for global gridlock with this model. Let's change the way we do business around it. And certainly as punters, let's change the way we get around for our own good.
I'm really surprised those car companies haven't bought into the electric bicycle business.
It's interesting,
if you sort of think if it came from them and they were saying, hey, this is the new simpler way to get around, we're going to give you a nice, green, healthy alternative. Plus they're electric, so really you don't have to be very fit at all. It's a surprise to me that hasn't, you know, that they haven't kind of tapped into that as a potential way for them to keep going.
It's a really interesting question. I know they're tapping into other ways to do cars, and maybe they just feel like that's their expertise. You know, lease models, for example, rather than everyone owning their own. And of course, there's the whole share car thing, which is going off now.
Yeah.
And a myriad other things, the driverless stuff. So all this stuff focused on the car. But it does make you wonder if it. Your question's really interesting, I find, because what we often confuse, and for good reasons. I mean, things worked fairly well for a period of time, but now we're having to sort of face this down and do something different. We often confuse the means for the end. So now we think of getting around, well, we have been thinking of getting around as the car. You get in the car and you get around.
Yep.
Instead of thinking, I need to get around, what's the best way I actually achieve that and then choose the right means for it? And so it does make you wonder that maybe the car companies could use, maybe they have, I don't know, could use an expansion of focus from the car, from the means, the car itself, to transport services. And actually look at how do we help move people around rather than how do we help people get lumbered.
Stay with the law of diminishing returns. 18 minutes
exactly.
Past here on It's Just Not Cricket. The very interesting Anthony James is my guest. I want to put a couple of things to you about the fact that you don't have a car and you've not had a car for 20 years. Because I'm curious, and we'll talk about how people react to you. Like, Anthony, you're flaming hippie. Or just like what those kind of common questions are, as in even without the commute. Oh, I couldn't live without my car because I couldn't.
Yeah.
What do they say to you? And how do you respond?
Well, the kids one's a big one.
Is it?
Really?
Get the kids to school?
Yep. But mind you, when I say that, I haven't heard it for a while. And I mean, even the hippie thing, I haven't probably heard that for 15 years. And
oh, really?
Even as a joke. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I probably haven't heard the kids thing for maybe five, six, something like that.
Yeah.
And certainly we go around and even my wife joins me to present at festivals and whatever. So when she's up for some of the limelight, she'll come with me and as the mum, you know, who's doing this as well and finding it actually enlivening rather than a chore. Once you're set up, like it takes adjustment. You know, to anyone wondering, sitting out there wondering, oh, geez, I don't think I could. How would you? And that and this and shopping. And but, you know, it takes transition, but it's not beyond us. It's actually not that difficult if you can get the right assistance. And then obviously if you can bring your life closer together with your work and all the better, or be near a train and, you know, where you can take your bikes on it, etc. There are all sorts of
What about, I need to go to the hardware store because I want to do some DIY this weekend.
Yeah, not really anymore. I think the biggest thing
you just quit
now,
DIY. you're so sensible.
Why just cut all the excess work out of your life? That could be the thing. No, not really. I think DIY is actually very good. And in a respect, this is sort of another emblem of it. I'm getting myself around rather than relying on high convoluted, you know, gadgetry dominated cars, as you were alluding to a little earlier, to do the job for me and having to pay for it. I'm getting myself around. Thank you very much. So in a way, it's a similar thing. But yeah, no, I think the thing you most hear now is, how can I do it now, given we are so far flung? You know, that the model of the car has meant that we urban sprawl has become enormous.
For sure.
How do we get out of the trap where, should I'd love to, or you might have to cut that bit, Glyn. I would love to.
This is where I tell you that we're live and you just said the S word on ABC Radio, and let's just roll with it and pretend that Anthony James, a consummate professional, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
And he's definitely trying to get me in the shit. Sorry, carry on. So, yes, you were saying.
Yes, I can do this on the podcast, you see. I can't do it on live radio.
Whole different ball game, my friend.
That's right, that's right. So where were we?
We were talking about people, urban sprawl.
Urban sprawl, that's right. So but now we're so far flung. The very legitimate and natural thing for a lot of people is, how could I possibly, given that I am not even near a bus, maybe in some cases, or I'm 10 km from a train station.
Yep, that exactly it. That is exactly it.
Yeah, that is entirely valid. It's the hole we dug ourselves, in a sense. And obviously, when I say we didn't do it individually. Collectively, we did it. Politically, we did it. And now that we're faced with getting our way out of it, and increasingly people want to, because mostly what I get now is, wow, tell me how, and hey, I'm trying it, or hey, I've done it. You know, I get those sorts of messages more now. The way you can start to address it, obviously, is by looking at the way we design the systems that can make it easier for individuals. Meantime, the more of us that break the mold, we become the constituency for the politics to change the systems, and not just the politics, the business to get on board. So car share companies are just starting to come into Perth now, but that took them 10 years longer than the East to see a critical mass where they felt like people would jump on. And some of them are peer-to-peer, so you can just put your own car on. If you're not quite ready to jump, put your own car on one of these systems, earn some money while it stays, you know, instead of it staying dormant for 96% of the time. And the other guy who might be ready to let go can let go, knowing that he's got access to a car up the road. So these things are coming on board with the more of us that, in a sense, do some of the hard yards and just break the mould for others to follow. And meanwhile, if you can manage to do that, if you're at all in a position to do that, like we've been fortunate enough to be, mind you, we're in Scarborough. It's not, you know, it's not the easiest street. It's not as easy as inner city Melbourne where we had been. But you can still find your lovely rides by the lake into train stations or the city. And of course, you get fitter. I mean, we joke with our kid because occasionally he'll complain about being tired, but we'll say, every uphill, there's a downhill. And he's sort of cottoned onto the idea. So, you know, you get fitter and it becomes easier the more you do it. And then you can develop this virtuous cycle rather than currently, of course, we're just burying ourselves deeper into the hole we're at the same time trying to get out of.
Anthony James is my guest. If you're just joining us, this is It's Just Not Cricket, ABC Radio. We are right across Australia, as well as a researcher and a car expert. He also does this.
You're with The Regeneration, exploring how people are regenerating life on this planet by changing the systems and stories we live by.
The Regen Narration Project. What is it?
Essentially, what I did was try to find a vehicle where I could get around and speak to people who were breaking the mold in whatever field they're in. So, for example, last year we actually took it around the country. It had sort of cottoned on to be worth doing. And we went and visited pastoralists, farmers, Aboriginal folk, activists, business people, social entrepreneurs, artists, like all walks, some famous, some not, but in all cases doing something in some respects remarkable, but in other respects, you know, they'll just look at you and say, it's just what needs doing. Like, it's the way we need to go now, and I'm reaping the rewards. Come and have a look. It's not what you see on the nightly news, but you'll find some of it on this podcast.
Excellent. So that's Regen as one word, and then Narration as another. It's a podcast. There's lots of episodes, some very interesting guests on there, and that's Anthony James. What a wonderful chat. Great to catch up with you.
You
thanks
too,
so much for sharing your yarn with us.
It's a great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All the best. Anthony James, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Western Australia and the creator of the Regeneration Project.
It's Just Not Cricket with Glenn Greensmith on ABC Radio.